And welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, today is a Friday, and it's been a beautiful week here in the on the East Coast. We've got so many wonderful things going on, and especially we want people to be enjoying their dogs and enjoying their dogs in a safe way. Definitely want to make sure that your dogs have plenty of nice, fresh, cool, clean water. And also to make sure that your dogs are not left unattended in any hot car. We talk about this all the time because no matter what happens in life, it always seems like somebody leaves a dog or a child or something unattended. And for all of you who are listening regularly every week, and we so appreciate that, we're going to talk about something that happened, and it's not quite related to directly to dogs, but it is related to hot cars and summertime. There was recently actually two different fathers of young toddlers and a mom who were, for whatever reason, taking their children in the car with them and forgot their kids in the car. Now, I don't exactly know how you could forget a child. It's hard enough to forget that you brought your dog with you. But, you know, that's a scary thing because that means that either there are a lot of really rotten people out there that need not to be procreating and producing children that they're not going to be responsible for, or maybe it's just a bad stroke of luck right now, and a lot of people just are forgetful for whatever reason. Personally, I don't know how you could forget your child or your animal in the car. I think I tend to believe more that people are inept. Those type of people are inept and really shouldn't be trusted with another human or animal life because, unfortunately, these animals and kids cannot speak up for themselves. And when we're going to talk next week, hopefully, with Dog E911 to talk about how to prevent heat stroke. We have done that before. The best thing to do if you are taking one of your dogs or your toddler in the car with you, make sure you always have fresh, clean water, and a lot of fresh, clean water, not just, you know, one little bottle, but make sure you have a couple of bottles, especially if you have a larger dog, because your dog, if he's in a warm car or even just in the summer, he's going to be losing an awful lot of fluids through his panting, which a lot of dogs do, and as we know, dogs don't sweat. But there are some great ways to keep your dog cool during the summer. One of them is keep your dog home in the air conditioning. But if you got to take your dog, like a service dog or, you know, a dog that you take with you all over, and it's great to have such wonderful dogs that I can bring all over with me. One of the things is if you have a brachiocephalic dog, meaning a French bulldog, an English bulldog, some of the very, very snub-nosed pit bulls, some of the larger mastiffs, certainly some of the other bulldogs and pugs, things like that, those breeds or mixtures of breeds don't have a very long passage for the production of in the winter for heat before the fluids or the air goes down into the lungs. And in the summer, it's got the opposite effect, unfortunately, where there's not that ability to cool. So that's where a lot of the brachiocephalics, like the boxers, bulldogs, French bulldogs, pugs, etc., tend to have problems more in, believe it or not, in the summer than in the winter. The number one cause of death in dogs in the summertime in many, many states and many, many areas is heat stroke, because people assume, oh, the dog is panting, he's out of the sun. But if it's 105 degrees out, or if you're in like Arizona or New Mexico or certain areas of Texas or Colorado, where it can be very dry and very hot as well, although Texas is usually not so dry, you know, what winds up happening, it's we don't see dogs sweating because dogs don't have sweat glands around their body like we do. So that nature's cooling for a dog is much less efficient. That's why dogs, and some of them, even the hairier, furrier dogs, it keeps them cool in the summer the same way as it keeps them warm in the winter. It's a very interesting process, and we'll do that one day when we have some of our scientific knowledge information available for everyone. But for right now, a very important part of this is to make sure that when you do have, especially a brachiocephalic dog who cannot cool itself, there are certain areas of the body that you can, wet down that will help the dog to cool down. That's usually going to be the inside of the dog's thighs. So, in other words, the upper part, almost where the legs meet the body, on front and back. And the best thing to do is to take or keep in your car, you know, some paper towels. I have a roll of paper towels at any given time. You just never know when a dog gets car sick, or depending on who's driving, some dogs get car sick quite frequently. But there are some very good places underneath where there is less hair, and also the abdomen area. Now, you don't want to take ice-cold water and put it on the dog, because ice-cold water can shock the system. With horses, we call that tying up. That's kind of the Black Beauty story for those of you who are horse lovers and remember the wonderful story of Black Beauty that we all have seen, you know, probably many, many times over. That was caused by someone who was giving too much ice-cold water to a horse, and the same thing can happen with a dog. You don't want to give them huge amounts of ice-cold water, because it will shock their system. And that last thing you want to do is cause more of an issue. So remember, when you have a dog who potentially has some kind of an issue, meaning the dog is overheated, don't right away, oh yeah, let's get ice water and dump the ice water all over the dog. That's only to be done by trained veterinary personnel who are familiar with what the dog needs and how the dog is, you know, going to be reacting. And also, the other part of that is, who's got ice water in the middle of the summer? If you had the ice water, you probably would have drained the ice off, given your dog some water, and you wouldn't be in the situation you're in now. Now, with the brachiocephalic dogs, because they're not able to really pant, and also you got to be careful. Sometimes you can use a little bit of moisturizer, like a very safe, like a coconut oil or something, on the dog's nose, because in this weather, even if it's very humid out, you'll see a lot of the boxers. And today I did an American Bulldog, a bull boxer, and a regular boxer who was a rescue. So it just so happened my three classes today were all brachiocephalics. When you're walking around, you should have water. If you have a backpack on your dog, that's even better, because he can carry his own water. Obviously, don't put 2 gallons of water in there with him, but he can carry a little bit of water. And let him stop frequently. Even if the dog seems to be fine, even if he appears to be healthy, still stop periodically, let him rest for a moment, let him have a little drink, give him, you know, maybe a half a cup or maximum a cup of water at a time. Don't let him drink, you know, five cups of water at a time, because he could conceivably get bloat, which is a torsion or a twisting of the stomach. It's caused by gas. It can be caused by an excess if they're drinking very suddenly, and they can cramp up and they can get what they call tying up. They can also have, like we were just talking about, bloat. So you really have to be aware in the summer, especially with dogs who are outside. We all think of dogs being outside as the one in the winter as being the ones in danger, but actually sometimes the summer can really present problems for a lot of dogs, especially the brachiocephalic. So we want you to stay tuned. We got more great information in the next segment, and we're going to do a little bit more talking about all the amazing things you can do with your dog in the summer. Stay tuned.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA, from family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health, and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 national nutrition awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, it is a Friday, and we're so happy to finally be at the end of this week. We got a nice summer, and we didn't have such oppressive weather this year as we have in previous years, but we did have the winter that lasted from September to about the end of June, so we're so happy to have some nice weather finally. So what we're going to start doing is highlighting different activities every week where you can go. Now, we're going to have some United Canine Professional events all over New Jersey, Texas, the Midwest. We've also got some events that we're setting up that'll be in the fall. One of the greatest things people love to do with their dogs, especially in Colorado and other areas like that, is to go out on a hike with your dog. And it's really fun. But you've got to remember that dogs can have injuries that we don't have because most people don't buy booties for their dog's feet. Now, if you're going rock climbing, mountain climbing on very, very treacherous terrain, you really should consider investing in a pair of some kind of booties that will protect the dog's feet. Obviously, get them used to it before. Make sure they're not cutting off his circulation. You have to be very careful, be very wise about it. But a lot of times people are out hiking with their dog, and they've got their water, they've got their little bit of snacks for themselves, maybe they've got something a little for their dog, they've got their little doggy backpack, they've got something of some kind of a flotation device so that the dog could potentially, catch on if it got a little bit, too cold and cramped up. But there is one thing that people don't typically bring with them or think about, and if your dog gets cut and can't walk back, and you've got, like I do, 100-plus-pound dogs. I have, 100-plus-pound Rhodesian Ridgebacks, including Wyatt. And if, God forbid, I had to pick Wyatt up and carry him around, it would not happen. There's just no way I can. I mean, I'm 115 pounds. I can't pick up a 105-pound dog. There's just no way. So what you want to do is have some basic first aid equipment. And we're going to have Doggy 911 founder and CEO Janae Bowen, hopefully next week. So you're definitely going to want to send in some viewer questions. If you have any things that have happened to you through the years with your dog, please share them. You can email us. You can email me at Janice, J-A-N-I-C-E, at United K9, the letter K, the number 9, K9Professionals.com. That's Janice at UnitedK9Professionals.com. And we will listen to those and see which ones we're going to choose. And this way, Janae Bowen will be able to answer that. And we also will probably have some other people throughout the summer helping us to determine what we're going to do in the summer fun and the summer sun. So one of the things that I hear a lot of times is people go out hiking. And they enjoy themselves. They love it. They're bonding with their dog. I was down in Pikes Peak, not too long ago, down in Colorado, Monument of the Gods, or Garden of the Gods, and Monument Valley, and all these different beautiful places. Well, I happen to have with me a roll of something called Vet Wrap, V-E-T Wrap. That is, it's also called Coflex. There are many different manufacturers. Vet Wrap was the original one, but it came off patent, and now everybody's got a copy of it. But something like that, and bring yourself a few good-sized gauze rolls. Can be small. You don't want gigantic ones. And a little bit of cotton, like a big chunk of cotton off of a roll. And wrap that all together. And you can really always make something that, with using the Vet Wrap and all that, you can make a tourniquet. Not that I'm advising you to do that on a healthy dog, but if your dog does get some kind of an injury, you'll be able to stop the bleeding. Having the Vet Wrap, which is its own pressure wrap and it sticks to itself, that's also a wonderful, wonderful way of making sure that your dog is going to be safe in case he cuts himself or has some kind of a swelling or a break in the leg. You can always find a stick or a branch or something to help splint a dog's leg in case that were the case. But the main thing is you can even use, like we joke with horses, we can use duct tape. We can make a bridle out of duct tape, a halter, a lead rope, a horseshoe, cover a horse's foot with it. Well, same thing with the Vet Wrap is a wonderful thing with dogs. You can make a dog leash out of it. You can make a slip lead out of it. You wouldn't believe what you're going to make out of this. And it doesn't hurt to have a roll of smaller roll of duct tape just in case you do need something, in case you need to, you know, fix something or you need to secure something. Obviously, don't use that on the dog because it'll pull every stitch of hair off of the dog's leg. But it's really handy to have that with you. Another thing that's great to have is if you live in an area with a lot of snakes, and, you know, remember, dogs don't always realize, like, hey, gee, that snake is hissing at me, like we make that shh noise that is like a cat. Well, dogs don't realize that that hissing coming from a snake that might be in Colorado or New Mexico or wherever, they don't realize that that's a danger sign. And a dog who has never been snake-proofed, which they do in certain states and certain areas that tend to have, you know, scorpions and poisonous snakes and all. If that dog should happen to, God forbid, get stung by or bitten by a snake or a scorpion or some kind of a poisonous, you know, animal or poisonous insect, you need to have a snake bite kit. And they do sell these things. I know I've been out west quite a bit, and they do have these things. Consider having that little doggy backpack or in your own backpack on an outside pouch. And that's a great way to make sure that if your dog, God forbid, does get injured or does get stung, that you have a little bit of a kit put together. Now, talking about the humans, make sure you have enough water. Make sure that you have a way of returning back. It's not a bad idea to have an extra battery for your cell phone, one of these little power packs. I've got a dozen of these things. They're really kind of cool. You plug them in, and then you take them with you, and it's like having an extra battery, and uses a little USB micro cord to connect back to the phone. Is how many of us use our phones as a GPS. And if for some reason your phone goes dead when you're out in the middle of nowhere and, God forbid, you have an emergency, well, of course, you'd call 855-HI-WYATT. You'd call Wyatt's List to get an emergency hospital or to find what you needed. But short of that, you know, you're out in the middle of somewhere hiking and camping. There's not going to be a lot for you in many places, and it might be a little while till help can arrive. So think about that when you're hiking. Consider taking, like I said, either some booties or even a cool coat. Some of you guys know what that is. It's almost like a chamois, and you soak it in water, and it goes on top of the dog, and it evaporates. And as it evaporates, it'll cool the dog. And that's also a very, very good idea. If you're in an area where it can get very, like in a desert where it can get very cold at night, even though it's a desert, yes, it gets cold because there's not a lot of atmosphere. There's not much to hold the heat in, and especially if it's very dry. So that's another thing. Remember, bring enough fluids for yourself. Make sure you have enough for both of you and your dog so that your dog doesn't wind up having to drink some dirty water that it may or may not find. And, you know, hiking is an awesome thing. I've had a lot of fun with it on a limited basis, but I'm always protected and always safe and making sure that my dogs have some kind of protection on their body. So we're going to talk a little bit more about a different type of outdoor adventure in a moment. So please stay tuned. We will be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time at 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044 and tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. And, of course, our daily show shout-out to the future Dr. Jody Joseph. And just study hard because there are a lot of animals that need you and a lot of people, too. Well, another thing I did want to announce is we're going to be starting pre-orders for the Wyatt stuffed animal. I know that everybody has pretty much been asking when the Wyatt stuffed animals will be done. Some of you have actually seen the prototype. It is just adorable. It's pretty much Wyatt as a puppy, and it is a beautiful Rhodesian Ridgeback with a ridge. It's a very, very cool design. It took almost a year just for the design of it. It's not as easy as you would think, but we're going to be taking pre-orders for the Wyatt stuffed animals. So those of you who have been nagging or persistently asking when the Wyatt stuffed animals will be out, they will be out by the fall for Christmas delivery. So very excited. And I know we're not thinking about Christmas in July, but why not? Why can't we have Christmas in July? Every day is Christmas when you've got wonderful animals in your life. And we also sometimes talk about how great animals are. The fact that animals don't judge, they don't nag, they don't harass, they don't stalk, they don't bother. They don't tell us when we don't look good in an outfit. And I always have people asking, especially women, obviously, if they can marry Wyatt and say, oh, he'd be perfect, he'd be the perfect man if only he could talk. Well, no, if he could talk, you'd call him an ex-husband or an ex-boyfriend. You wouldn't want your dogs to talk because you probably wouldn't want to know what they would say because we would, as humans, ask them, hey, buddy, what do you think about this outfit? And if they said, well, I don't really like it, you'd say, why are you talking? Stop talking. So it's really, you know, the greatest relationship in the world when you have one of just connection and trust and respect and love and loyalty. And that's really great, and that's why we love dogs so much. And that's why we have to protect them. We have to take care of them and make sure that they're safe. So there's another thing we were talking earlier about hiking with your dog. Well, there's another whole aspect to this. A lot of people love to take their dogs onto the beach. And unfortunately, sometimes you go onto the beach and there's only certain times you're allowed to be on the beach with your dog. So sometimes people, and we have seen it recently. I live in New Jersey, down the Jersey Shore. Somebody was pretending to have a service dog. And so, of course, they were allowed to bring the dog on the beach, and everybody got upset. And because of that, they now are requiring identification. Well, the funny thing is, the identification, if you have identification, that typically that means that it's fake. You're only getting from an accredited, legitimate agency who's going to provide you with a legitimate ID and certificate from their program that they've been doing for 10 or 20 years, not, you know, not just somebody who goes online and purchases, you know, for $200 and goes and gets an ID and a badge. But, you know, unfortunately, that's what goes on. So basically what happened was there was somebody who went on the beach, and it was obviously not a trained service dog, but because the Americans with Disabilities Act in 1990 and all of its amendments have, you know, included the power actually does not go to the dog. It's considered, the dog is considered an adaptive device, meaning it's the same power as someone who needs crutches or a cane or a wheelchair or, you know, anything to be able to function as normally as possible. So now they're starting to ban dogs in certain areas, and hopefully that's not a trend that continues, but unfortunately it probably will because people tend to ruin things for whatever reason. But that does tend to happen. Now, there are a lot of beaches on the East Coast as well as the West Coast which are dog-friendly. So if you want to go somewhere, to try not to, you know, get involved with doing something wrong. You don't realize who you're hurting. And you may think, oh, it's not a big deal. But I did have a client a few weeks ago who has a very aggressive dog. It's extremely dog-aggressive. And she has a service dog vest and patch for it. And it's really heartbreaking because I know how much training goes into, you know, making a really highly trained super-duper service dog. And it's not days or weeks. It's months and months and months and years sometimes to get these dogs trained. So unfortunately, most people will take you at face value. And, if you've got a dog who's not well-behaved but you want to go on the beach with them, there's so many dog-friendly beaches. Please just do the right thing. Go find a dog-friendly beach. There are so many of them all over. Now, you have a different set of circumstances when you do take your dog, whether it's a service dog, a legitimate service dog, or it's just your wonderful companion who's the love of your life. There definitely are a lot of beaches you can look up. I'm not going to give you the websites. I'm not 100% sure of it. But if you look on Google for dog-friendly beaches or dog-friendly, you know, places, you'll be able to find it. You'll also be able to find it on Wyatt's list, which is nearly up and running, and that will have a list of all the pet-friendly locations you can go. It's very cool. It's cost a lot of money for the website because of all the search capabilities, but it's going to be really awesome, and you'll definitely want to be involved with that and signing up. It's a free app, so we'll definitely want to get that going. So let's continue on about beaches. One of the main things that people don't realize is the sand is really hot, and when a dog is lying down, not only can they get the sand in between their paws, which can cause irritation in their paws, not only can they get it in their nose or their eyes in the obvious places, but they can also get it in their toenails. They can get it in different places, even underneath them, where this grain of sand can work up or into the ears, which is a bad place. And then the dog will wind up having, you know, even months later, having an issue that was caused by a grain of sand that migrated into the skin or became an ulcer or blockage. So you really want to be careful. Also, be careful about feeding your dog or throwing the ball for your dog, and then the dog gets the frisbee or the ball gets wet from the dog's saliva or from the water. It rolls in the sand. The dog picks it up in his mouth, and now he's just ingested a ton of sand. And if you're a beach dweller, like I was just down in a magnificent home in Seagirt, New Jersey, yesterday with two beautiful dogs. And the one dog goes to the beach with the son, who's a surfer, and they're just adorable, beautiful children. Reminded me of Christopher Atkins in Blue Lagoon with Brooke Shields. Beautiful kids. But I asked him, I said, how often do you take the dog? And he said, well, I only take him for a walk, but I don't take him into the sand too much because I'm afraid I don't know what he's going to do. Well, don't worry about if the dog is going to, you know, urinate or defecate on the sand. I'm more worried about the dog picking up a toy that has tons of sand in it, and during the course of a couple of weeks or months that the dog has all this sand in his system, the sand can actually cause a blockage, and that blockage could possibly last where the dog now isn't eating or isn't drinking or is acting lethargic because the sand doesn't always pass out, and it can really create problems. There's something called diverticulitis and diverticulosis, and they're both basically conditions of the intestines where there are little tiny pockets, and the little tiny pockets in the intestines get clogged up with food, nuts, shells of things sometimes. So you have to be aware of what you eat, and dogs as well. So if the dog is eating, you know, a lot of sand, it's ingesting sand because it's playing with toys, over the course of time that can cause a lot of digestive issues. So again, you want to be very careful. We are going to be definitely coming back and talking about a little bit more with different things you can do, fun things you can do with your dog in the summer. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. So we're talking about different places to take your dog, safely take your dog, to enjoy your bond, your connection, your just the joy of living. Today I was actually collecting on a winning lottery ticket, not millions, but pretty nice. And there was a gentleman there who said to me, wow, you know, you're so lucky. You know, you won. I said, oh, I win quite a bit. And I think I consider myself to be a very lucky person. He says, how many times have you won the lottery? I said, well, never won the big one. He goes, well, why do you think you're so lucky? I said, I'm a two-time cancer survivor. I said, I'm lucky. Every day I wake up in the morning, open my eyes, and look in the mirror and say, hey, how you doing, girl? That is a day that I won. So I think every day, every moment that I can enjoy, especially with my dogs and the people I love, and there's so many of them, of both, that I think I am the luckiest person in the world, and it's really important that you appreciate the little things. Appreciate your dog. Appreciate the things you take for granted, because, you know, I've seen people who, you know, especially with letting dogs run at large, running without a leash, and then all of a sudden the dog, the first time the dog ever runs away, it's, of course, when there's a car coming or there's some kind of a situation. And somebody's dog gets hit by a car. We just had that with somebody very close to me who had a dog. The neighbor was watching it, and the dog wound up running, unattended or anything, but the dog was running and, you know, just playing, saw one of its little buddies and trotted across the street, and there was a car coming. And the dog got hit by a car. Now, she's fine. I mean, she's not fine, but she will be fine. But just imagine that one time, even you got the number one dog in the country, one time that dog does not listen to you and a car is coming. Is that really worth it? Are you willing for that silliness of, oh, I want to be a big shot and let my dog off leash? are you really sure that that's worth it? I'm a big economics person because I've got so many degrees, and one of them is in macroeconomics. And one of the things I always looked at is the risk-reward model. Is the risk that you're taking worth the reward you're going to get? And that's with anything, risk-reward on investing, stock market, investing your money in mutual funds, whatever it is. The risk has to be worth the reward. And if it's not worth it to you to potentially have your dog run into the street and get hit by a car, then why risk it? What is the reward? You let your dog off leash? Okay, that was impressive. So now your dog is dead and or very injured, and it really was a silly idea. So same thing, when you're out somewhere, if you have a dog who tends to be a runner, like one of the hounds, a beagle, border collies sometimes can be runners, but any of these dogs who tend to take off, be aware at least to have a collar, tags, and, you know, something identifying the dog. I'm not a big fan of microchips because I had two dogs get masses that were around the microchips. That does not mean that's going to happen to your dog. It just so happens it happened to two of my dogs, the only two dogs I've ever microchipped. The ones nowadays are definitely much safer and much better. But have some form of identification on your dog, because if you're hiking and your dog smells a deer or a chipmunk or whatever it smells, and runs off, and now it's getting dark and you can't see the dog and you have to go home without that dog, you know, that dog is on his own. And, you know, unfortunately in many states right now, especially if you're, you know, the dog is lost in the mountains or lost somewhere, you know, near civilization but on the edge of it, you know, somebody might grab the dog and, you know, the dog winds up in the shelter. And some states are 3 days. And in 3 days, they will euthanize your dog or put it up for adoption. So obviously we'd much rather have our dog put up for adoption and not be dead. But, you know, unfortunately, we wouldn't know. We would assume that the dog was, you know, just obviously, you know, not accountable, not accounted for. So very, very important to have proper tags and ID on your dog, something that can be visible. Microchips are great, but, you know, that doesn't help when an individual owner actually has the dog. So what you want to wind up doing is put a tag on that at least has a phone number. I don't necessarily recommend you putting an address, but make sure there's a phone number. And if you change your phone number or you move or whatever identifying information you have, don't forget to keep it updated. It's very important. Because if you don't update it, how is anybody going to know that you moved or you're not living where you were living before? So a phone number that's current, or two phone numbers often. If you don't answer your phone, like you guys who don't typically answer your phone, you know, definitely put two numbers. Put maybe yours and maybe your parents, or yours and your girlfriend's, or yours and, you know, your sister's. But put two people's phone numbers on an identification that is on the dog, either as a, you know, on the collar itself. There's a lot of them that actually have the dog's name and phone number on it. Of course, I don't recommend that for single, young single females, because then anybody walking by can look at the phone number that's on your dog and have your phone number. So that's not the brightest idea either. But there is definitely a lot to be said for having a little tag that's actually on the dog. One of the interesting things that I get asked all the time is, if my dog starts to run away from people and it bites, somebody's trying to catch it, what happens to my dog? Well, typically if it bites, it goes into a 10-day quarantine at the shelter or the veterinarian's office. And if nobody claims the dog by that time, forgetting about lawsuits and all, if nobody claims the dog by that time, then the dog at the end of that time would potentially be either put up for adoption or euthanized. One thing that everybody should get into their head, please, even if you have a dog who is not great with a lot of people, try to work on that. You can call our 800 number, 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K-9-PROS. We have a free 800 number. you can call and we will be happy to give you some help over the phone. If you need additional help, we will send one of our amazing certified natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialists to your home in any of 37 states, and we can get around even a little better there. We will help you. But it's very important because so many dogs, if a dog is dog aggressive, that's obviously an issue and we can fix that, no problem. But if a dog is people aggressive and the dog is going to be fearful in that moment or very anxious or nervous, and now here's this great dog that you have, and this great dog that you have is running away, you can't find him, and now somebody has to catch your dog. So you don't want to teach your dog not to trust people, because the dog may either just never go up to somebody to be caught and you'll never know whatever happened to your dog, or in the alternative, your dog may wind up biting somebody who grabs for a collar. And we're going to do in the last segment today is talk about the fact that how you should catch a dog if you see a dog who is a stray or doesn't have a collar or does have a collar, so that we're able to understand how to do it the right way so you don't wind up getting bitten while you're trying to do a good thing. I've certainly been bitten by enough stray dogs to know how not to approach a dog, but make sure that your dog isn't going to be one of those dogs who's going to nip or bite or run from somebody when you're trying to catch them. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. This is Good Stuff.
Dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. Well, we're talking about different things that we should be doing behaviorally when we are out enjoying our dogs on the beach, in the mountains, in a desert, wherever it is that you call home. I remember a long, long time ago, Charles Kuralt, and I remember this as a child, where he would go to a different location every single week and show people what America looked like and what the world looked like. Well, this is kind of what we want to do. Is we want to enjoy this, and we want to take our dogs with us. So find pet-friendly locations. You can go to Wyatt's List, and you can access that right now on the MerlinsKids.org or UnitedK9Professionals.com website. And we're accepting submissions for really good places, really good veterinarians, really great people who are dog-friendly and who help our fluffy, furry friends to be the best dogs they can be. So let's talk a little bit about how do you get your dog who maybe isn't really great with everybody, how do you get that dog to be friendlier? Well, one of the things is try not to kind of monopolize your dog's attention. When you go out, have people walk your dog. So in other words, you go out, you're somewhere, wherever you are, and have your dog on a leash, on a gentle leader, and allow people, not everybody, but allow some people, allow a couple of elderly people, allow a young man, allow people of different races and ethnic origin, allow different people to walk with you with your dog and to take the leash, because then your dog sees that you are handing him over with still being there, though. You're handing him over, and he's not dying. He's not going to have a heart attack. He's not going to have a problem, but he's okay. And you want to start making it a situation where people are good, people are happy, people are good things, and when a person has you, it's a good, you know, it's a good little situation. You don't want the dog to ever be afraid, because if the dog, let's say your dog is afraid of, you know, of men with hats, okay? So if your dog is afraid of men with hats, and now the person who tries to help you and bring your dog back to you when he's lost or stolen, he's got a hat on, and your dog hates people with hats, especially men, especially tall men with beards and hats. So you have to acclimate your dog to other people and other animals, but especially to other people. What do you do if you find a lost dog? Well, the first thing is, and a lot of people that I know really well, because we're all dog lovers, we keep a slip lead in our purse, in our pocket, in our jacket, in our car, on our bicycle, whatever. So if you do see a dog running around, you don't have that frantic, oh no, does anybody have a belt on? That's already too late. So if you have a little, just a little inexpensive, you know, slip lead, and you're able to use that slip lead, and then obviously take that slip lead and, you know, secure it around the dog's neck, you obviously don't want to hurt the dog. But if the dog is running on a side of a highway, or if the dog is, you know, running loose, it's going to be a big problem, because if you allow that dog to run away, and like especially if you go to catch him, well, if a dog doesn't have a collar, let's say he slipped out of his collar, how are you planning to catch him? The only way you could really do it is either to grab onto his scruff or his tail, and he doesn't know you, and he's scared, and he's fearful of everything, because everything in his whole world is just turned upside down. So it's a really great idea to keep that slip lead calmly. If the dog is near you, don't look at him. Don't stare at him. Just pretend that you're on the ground, like picking up change that somebody dropped, or you're picking up, you know, a couple of $100 bills that fell on the ground, and look very interested in what you're doing. Chances are pretty good that the dog will actually come to you as long as he can see you, because he's going to wonder, what do you got? What's there? And the dog will approach you. Don't try to grab onto the dog the very first thing you do. If you do that and you miss, you have now lost the dog's trust. Remember, we talk about connection. And if you don't have the connection and the trust with that dog, he could potentially bite you or he could run away. So you want to have that slip lead, and very gently and very gingerly keep the slip lead in your palm, so that as you're petting him, you're also laying the slip lead over his head. He will, chances are, go away from you, not towards you, so you shouldn't get bitten. But, of course, don't do this if it's a obviously aggressive dog, or if it's a dog that you perceive at all has the propensity or tendency to aggression. You definitely don't want to get involved in that. But it is very, very important to know a little bit of a plan and how to handle that. The best thing to do is try to get next to the dog, not facing directly at the dog, because if you're facing directly at the dog, then you're challenging the dog. And this isn't about challenging. We're not challenging him. We're trying to bring him home. We're trying to save somebody's life, not just the dog, but as I trademarked my phrase, saving the world two lives at a time, saving two lives at a time. And it's really important that everybody understands what that means. So think about that for a moment, because I've certainly been bitten by dogs, and I know what I'm doing. I know really well what I'm doing, and I don't mind getting bitten. But you've got to be careful, because if you do get bitten, now they have to catch the dog and quarantine it, and you don't want to add, you know, more gasoline to the fire. You've already got an issue with the dog. So why would you want to exacerbate that issue instead of ameliorating it? You want to reduce it, not increase it. Doesn't make sense to you. So if you're traveling and you have some kind of a little food, or we always keep little pieces of beef jerky because I sometimes like to eat different kinds of high-protein snacks or nut bars. But one of the best things to have with you when you're traveling is a little package of beef jerky. It's handy for your own blood sugar. It's a handy treat if you do want to give your dog a reward or a little, just a little snack. And it's also great to catch a loose dog, because the dog will tend to come to something with a stronger smell, because dogs eat and find food by their sense of smell. So the best thing to do is have a slip lead. We talked earlier about having a roll or two of gauze, a smaller roll of cotton, and then either Coflex or vet wrap, possibly a splint. You can use a pencil. That's a great use for an old toothbrush. If you have an old toothbrush you're going to get ready to throw out, they make wonderful splints. You can lay that on a dog's leg to stabilize it. And if you have two of them, that's even better, one on the top, one on the bottom, and wrap it up with your Coflex or vet wrap. If the dog starts to bleed or has any kind of an injury, or with its foot or its pad, you've also got already your peroxide and your other things that can help. Maybe your snake bite kit if you live in an area like that. There are a lot of great things you can do, great places you can go that you will truly enjoy your dog and truly be able to just spend your time with them. Have a dog who's able to go places. Like, I can just take Wyatt and Savannah and Wispa and Romeo and whoever I want at the same time. Just put them in my car. We go out and we have fun and we share our time together. That's really what it's all about. Well, next week we're going to return with hopefully Janae Bowen. She'll either be with us next week or the following week. But we will talk about some other great things you can do, great places you can go, and a little bit of first aid as well. And remember, we want to have your listener questions for Janae Bowen, for Doggy 911, or for myself. And we're also hopefully going to be interviewing some of our people in other countries about what we are doing to help change the way dogs are perceived around the world. Because we all think from our own perspective about dogs being treated a certain way in the United States. But boy, oh boy, when you get into other countries, especially third world or communist bloc countries, former communist countries, Cuba, Mexico, some of the islands in the Caribbean, there are just so many different ways that dogs are treated. And we want to always make sure that we take care of our dogs, but that we help to build trust and a respect and a connection with people in other countries who might need our help. Well, it's time to go, and we hope you enjoyed our show today. We'll be back next week on Friday night. Remember, if you need any help, feel free to call our 800. It's our 800 number. It's 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K9-PROS. Or if you'd like to join our team at UnitedK9Professionals.com, we have our new class starting up in just a few weeks. So it's very exciting if you're interested in a career helping dogs, working in a school possibly with children with special needs, behavioral intervention, therapeutic facilitation, all the awesome things that we offer through Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals. We want you to understand that this is something that you can do as a career and you can enjoy and make a difference in the world. Thank you so much for joining us. We will listen to you next week. Have a great week. Bye.